Bring out the welders. I got some mates that can weld. We'll go around in a fucking pickup. We'll go around in a ute, Aussie style, and just weld everyone's doors shut.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
You're listening to Sapnin Podcast.
Sapnin.
You are listening to episode 117 of Sapnin Podcast with Sean Smith and my good friend Morgan Richards.
Yes, it's me, Morgan Richards, and it's another day of good intent and itchy fingers about this week's episode.
Yes, in case you haven't guessed, or you can't read, or... you didn't get Morgan's punnage there. This week's guests are Luke, Jake and Lewis from the ever fantastic Press to Miko.
Yes, and not only that, Sean, but it's a worldwide exclusive.
Exclusive.
Literally. But no, thanks to our good friends at Marshall Records, we've been given the bona fide premiere to bring you the first look, conversation and insight into this new era of Press to Miko, which is pretty much a big scoop. They've been teasing things for a while, so take that, every other media outlet ever.
Yes, we got them. Yeah, take that Sky News. They must be shitting themselves. Imagine being Sky now, or like MTV, or Kerrang TV, or anybody like that. Imagine being BBC Radio 1 now. They must be shitting themselves.
Well,
fair enough.
I think that's just a testament to how professional and cool Sapnin Podcast has become. And by me saying we're cool, we're now uncool. So I'm very sorry about that, Sean.
It's all right. Which, by you saying we're cool, has made us uncool. But being uncool is really cool.
It's a vicious cycle.
You can never really tell. Sometimes you're like, am I cool? And when you're thinking that, you are cool. And then sometimes you'd be like, wow, I look cool today. And guess what? You don't look cool. So, not you, all of us. I'm not just bullying you. Morgan, sometimes you think you look great and you look dreadful.
Yeah.
You're a good... yeah. Yeah, thank you very much to the Press to Miko camp, Press to Miko machine, a former guest of the podcast, Machine. He produced the Press to Miko record, and he is also a fantastic human who we spoke to a couple of episodes ago. So if this interests you whatsoever and you're big into the Press to Miko, go back and listen to our episode with Machine where he talks about the boys. Everybody involved with this record seems to be absolutely fucking lovely.
Yes, really. They really, really are. And they sent us an early copy. We're one of the first people to listen to the new record months before it's going to be released. And what we can say so far is it's very, very good. But there's a lot to dissect on this episode. Press to Miko are, if you're not aware, Press to Miko are an alternative three-piece from Crawley/Croydon in the UK. Apparently, don't quote me on that, it's on their Twitter. But this is a new start for them. Today, February the 19th, marks the release of their new single, Another Day, and they've announced that their third full-length studio record, Transmute, will be released on June the 11th through Marshall Records. It's the debut release with a new recruit and not so mystery bassist, Jake Crawford, joining the ranks. And this is actually his first interview with the band as well. So we're getting all the first, all the exclusives, and some very nice bonuses for you to dive into.
We've done quite well, I think. Mm. We've done well with this.
We have. We have. And we get into everything from the struggles getting to this point, writing and recording these tracks in a castle of all places. As Sean said, their good relationship with the wonderful producer Machine, Luke's Twitch, utter chaos, brilliant insights, and we even drop a little surprise for them.
Yes, yes we do. A castle, like they recorded in a castle. That, for any American listeners, right, that's a massive, huge building made out of stone. I know you haven't got them over there, apart from that pink one made out of plastic in that Disneyland or Disney World or whatever it is. But yeah, imagine recording in a castle.
It's mad. I think the only
I'd love a go.
The only other castles I can think of America is White Castle, the fast food. Fast fruit? It's not fast fruit, I can tell you that.
Fast fruit? have you just invented a new genre of food? How do we get on that? Fast fruit?
It's like a healthy...
Fried apples, like.
Is that healthy, though?
Well, no, but it's got to be in between, isn't it? It's got to be half fast foods, so it's got to be half bad for you, and half fruit, which is good for you, isn't it? So fast fruit. It's going to be deep fried apples, deep fried bananas... I can't believe we got into this. But yeah, anyway, thanks to the guys. If you enjoy this episode, please think about checking out all the other episodes. There's at least 116 to choose from, and I promise you, we've talked to somebody else you like musically. If not, we haven't talked to somebody you like musically, but we have got some amazing, interesting stories of people that you won't believe. So yeah, check out all the other episodes. If you've got any suggestions for guests, episodes, topics you'd like us to talk about, get in touch on Twitter and Instagram at SappeninPod. That's at SappeninPod. That's at SappeninPod. And if you've enjoyed this episode, and you will.
Oh, you will.
You will.
You will.
Oh, you will. Fact. If you enjoy this episode at all, if you laugh once during this episode, you must go to patreon.com/sappening and join up for absolutely any tier whatsoever. Because all the money that's made via our Patreon goes back into keeping us alive and making this podcast, which is free each and every. And I can't stress every enough, every bloody week we do this.
For 117 weeks, every Friday, we have produced content that I'm proud of. I think that each episode has been worth the hype as well. So, I mean, if you'd like to support this podcast in any single way, please go and check out patreon.com/sappening. As Sean said, anything helps. And you get a whole lot of different and bonus material to dive into as well. Well, this week we released a special podcast on our Patreon with the wonderful Joe from Patent Pending. So if you enjoy them and you fancy even more laughs, patreon.com/sappening, and you get to meet a host of your new best friends in the wonderful community we've been able to create. And it brings joys to our eyes and faces each and every day.
Yes, I'm very proud of this as well. The fact we've managed to keep it going during the pandemic. And yeah, we're getting more ears than ever listening to us. So yeah, thank you very much if you're a new listener. Thank you very much if you're an old listener. Thank you very much if you're part of the Patreon group. You know how much that means to us. Thank you very much if you've considered being part of the Patreon group. Man up and get it done, or woman up, or non-binary up. Completely up to you. Whatever the app is for your gender, do that, innit? And become part of the Patreon. But yeah, should we just get into this episode or what?
Yes, I think. Well, I've seen a disaster right around the corner. I've seen a disaster right around the bend. And that is this interview. Wonderful conversation with the boys from Press Timico. Exclusively.
Exclusive.
On Sappening Podcast.
Exclusive. Sappening.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Sapnin!
Sapnin!
Sapnin! Oh my fucking god.
We've never had anyone use a sound effect.
This is a whole other level of interview you're about to have.
Jesus guys. Christ, this might be the best moment of the podcast so far. This is brilliant. Ladies and gentlemen, well, I fucking never. This week's guests are Presto Miko. We've got Luke Lewis and Jake with us.
Yes.
And a siren. I can't go. Have you got any other? Wait. Is there any other noises?
There's some, but they aren't really relevant. I got, actually, this is cool. So that's like someone recorded a metal version of There's a Worm at the Bottom of the Garden for me. And sent it. There's this, which I. This is a song called Uncle John from Jamaica that haunted Lewis's childhood. My Uncle John from Jamaica. What? And then there's a couple other things. Lewis, because I remember being like 17 or 18 and Lewis telling me about this song, and just like Lewis telling me about. Lewis gets PTSD from that song. He couldn't stop singing it for like a year of his life or something.
Like genuine song Tourette's, just singing it 24 hours a day. It is a good song to sing, and it makes you happy, but after a while, it's some sort of torture method.
Well, yes.
Yeah?
I don't think any... I wasn't expecting this start. I wasn't expecting sirens. This is fucking brilliant. I love this. Yeah, how have you guys been? How has this shitty virusy lockdown thing been?
Been pretty much the same. Yeah, we're not left the house. We weren't leaving the house before, not leaving the house now.
I was talking to my mum yesterday on the telephone, and I was saying that I'm not necessarily bored. It's just like the things that I'm doing are keeping me occupied. It's just the sheer lack of variety. That's the main thing.
Yeah.
I mean, it's been cool. Like I'm trying to think, like, when did we last talk? We spoke for the trees thing, didn't we?
Yeah.
Like, was that it? So that was before we did the record. So I guess we've been relatively busy. Like, we've done an album. That's about it. The rest have been lots of just like putting on lockdown weight, watching series.
Oh, don't get me started on that now, because I'm in the period, right? Is I don't know if I've put on weight or lost weight in lockdown now. So yeah, I'm in the middle, so... like, yeah.
What? How the fuck does that work? What do you mean? What do you mean? I don't know if I put weight on or lost weight.
Because it's been exactly so long of lockdown, and we've kind of been in and out of flows, right, of lockdown and stuff, especially in Wales, right? I don't know if from March 2020, I am now way more or less since that time, because I feel like it's gone up and down in that period.
Stand up, pull your top up.
No one wants to see that, trust me.
Yes, they do.
I want to see it.
Top up. Come on, Morg. Let's have a look. I'll tell you, Morg. No, I've seen you fucking once a week for fucking 115 weeks now in a row. Give me a look at that belly. I'll tell you.
Not topless.
That's true, but I think I'll be able to fucking judge whether you've put weight on.
Anyway, let's get to our guests. I mean, so guys, obviously...
We're pretty comfortable with this whole thing. Please don't stop on our behalf.
I'm thinking of the listeners. They don't want to know about my hairy body. But anyway... anyway, obviously, this is a new era for Preston Eco. You've just now officially announced details for your third album, Transmute, coming up on June the 11th. You've all been working on this for quite a while. How does it feel to finally have new music out and for people to experience everything you've been working on?
Yeah, man, it's good. Like, it's weird how I feel like your brain isn't recording time very well in this whole situation. So it's weird how, like, we haven't even seen each other for a good few months now. And it's like, when you actually look at the calendar and figure out how long it's been, it's ridiculous. So we should be itching a bit more than we are right now. But it's like, it's been kind of nice to sit back with it. We spent a good amount of time mixing it and everything and just getting it all right. And yeah, but it's good to finally have it out. And yeah, it's mad we even got to do this in the first place.
I think that's the thing I feel most proud about, is just like the fact we got it done in a time that was virtually impossible to get it done. And the way we did it as well was very wacky and very us and very machine. Like, it's if you put COVID, this band, a machine into a blender, like the way we've done this album is probably what would come out every time, where it's just like a fucking janky mishmash thing. But I think the result has transcended like all of the elements of putting it together, if that makes sense. So thing.
Me and Morgan got sent an advance copy, and that is a fucking brag, right? If anybody listening,
that is a brag,
right? I heard it before you.
You did. You heard it before, like our families, probably.
Oh, wow. Take that, your families. What an album! Awesome, fantastic job, guys. Really good. Machine again involved. What a guy! What an absolute legend.
Guy.
Yeah. Well, could you tell us how that came about again? And well, maybe even talk about some of the crazy ideas and how the recording happened.
I think like this whole record, just everything about this band from the start of 2020 to now, there's just so much fucking narrative behind it. Like, just we were going to record the album with originally we were going to record it with a very close friend of ours called Rich, who's just insanely talented, and then he's the guy who did Easy Life, our last single. And then logistically, that wasn't going to work out. So then we had another producer lined up, and it was all set in stone. We're all going to do this. Then we flew out to, we went to NAMM 2020 in LA, and like everything was set in stone. We're kind of like, yeah, we're feeling good about this. I remember we were on stage, and then like Machine walked in the room as we were playing in the Marshall booth. And it was kind of like, you know, that cheesy moment in like fucking films where like the girl that got away walks in and like everything goes into black, and then just like it was just like that, and you just saw Machine. Instantly I was just like, we fucking love this guy. Like, I was already like, why aren't we doing the record with this guy? Like, and then we started chatting to Machine, and it was kind of like, the reason we hadn't hit him up was just because purely a financial and logistical thing. So it's like, we're very fortunate that Machine likes this band enough to compromise on his, you know, his end, and just like, you know, what the, perhaps he wouldn't take the usual rate he charged a major label for us and stuff. So we knew the budget was very small, and it's like, we didn't want to offend this guy by being like, look, we know you'd fucking bent over backwards for the last record, so how do you feel about doing it again?
Yeah.
But even less. Yeah, we're even poorer now. And so I kind of said this to Machine, and instantly as soon as I started speaking, he was just like, dude, why the fuck didn't you call me? And like, fucking, and then like, we kind of got chatting. He's just, and he kind of left like, look, let's just fucking, you want to do this record with me, obviously I want to do it with you, let's chat. And I kind of like had this conversation, like instantly I went backstage to Lewis, and I was just like, and Lewis was like, we're going to have to do the record with Machine, aren't we? It's just like, yep. And then like, we turn around and tell Graham, our manager, and he just turns white because he's just had to jump through like 7 million hoops to get it sorted in the first place. And we're just like, you know how much you love managing this band? We're going to make your life a whole lot harder. And so yeah, there was that. So basically, and then obviously Jake came into the band. So we were all ready to basically, we were basically set up for 2020. Jake had just joined. We're about to go and record the record with Machine in Texas, come straight off the back of that and do a European tour. And then fucking COVID hits. And then we're all stuck, you know, we're stuck in our rooms for probably like 2-3 months trying to figure out how we're even going to do this record. And logistically, everything we were trying was becoming more and more impossible. I think like, obviously Marshall, they've invested in this band and there's a record that exists. It's like, we need to record a record because, you know, that's what a record label does. It releases records. Yeah, so like we were just racking our brains, figuring out a way to do this, because like we don't really want to compromise on who. The one thing we were sure on is we didn't want to compromise on doing it with Machine, because Machine was the guy for this album. It was just finding a way to logistically get together that was seeming more and more against the odds. And then we're very fortunate that Graham has a friend who basically owns a fucking castle in the Cotswolds. It's basically like a contemporary converted house, like castle tower, and then there's that house underneath. And me and Lewis were very grateful to get an offer from him the year before to be like, if you ever need some time to just get away from everything and go and write, please hit me up because you can use this facility. So me and Lewis had gone there previously to go and write the record. And I think we were just together once, and like we were just kind of like, we kind of threw it out, and we were just like, well, look, this is becoming so expensive now to rent a studio, get Machine over here, get all the shit we need in the studio. It's like, we might as well just fucking do this in the castle, almost as a bit of a flippant comment. And it's kind of like that light bulb moment. As soon as like we said it, it's just like, yeah, but why don't we try do this in the castle? And then spoke to Machine. Like, I think Machine even said in, it might have been with your interview or someone else, where it's just like he actually had no intentions of actually ending up. He never thought he'd actually end up flying to the UK and actually doing this record in this janky fucking castle.
Yeah.
And like, so he was just the whole time, he was like, look, we'll make it happen no matter what. In the back of his head, we were still going to end up going out there. And as COVID restrictions locked down more and more, it became more obvious that there's no way we were getting to the States, but actually we could probably get Machine over here, because there'd only be six of us and we'd just be isolating together for like a month and a half, 2 months. So technically within the guidelines at the time, we're in a group of six. We're not contacting anyone else outside this little bubble. So the more we spoke about it, the more we were like, fuck, I think we might actually be able to do this. So Machine gave us a list of shit that we'd need, like skeleton studio shit. We're very fortunate that Marshall had some recording gear that they'd not implemented into something they're putting together that they were happy to send us. And, against all the odds, yeah, we flew him over and we just made a studio in this castle. It was fucking nuts.
That's awesome. How many people get to say they fucking recorded an album in a castle?
Yeah.
There's Americans who've never even been to a real castle.
The tower itself is older than America as you know it today.
Yeah.
It literally is.
And it's like typical British countryside as well. It's like you can get any more British landscape and everything. And like, I don't think Machine, you know, it's like until we were actually there and we'd hit record, I don't think any of us were kind of believing it was going to really be happening, or like at least not as smooth as it did in the end. Because, you know, it's like Machine's just come from his studio, which is built completely to his specification. There's not even a vocal booth or anything. He's just sat next to you shouting at you right before he hits record on that vocal take. And yeah, and at first, like, obviously he was just a little bit like, I'm not sure about this, boys, but it's like Machine is such a rogue that it's like the more we got into it, it's like, oh, he's going to enjoy this. Once we actually start getting set up, like we had the vocal booth in the garage with like big barn doors that you could open rain or shine. One of the takes has Luke doing a wheel spin on the gravel driveway, going to Co-op to get some Oreo ice creams.
Nice. As you do.
Yeah. And then we just like, we built a live room on the first first floor of the tower. And then like down in the basement of the tower, we had like a little guitar tracking set up, and then there are bedrooms at the top and stuff. But yeah, it was real cool.
That's awesome.
Nice. Yeah. I mean, there's so many elements of recording in a castle and especially Machine we're going to get into, but obviously this is should be Jake's first interview as part of Press to Meet Joe.
It literally is.
Yeah, but ask him any questions. He's not allowed to speak.
He's contractually signed a contract that says he don't talk.
Yeah,
he has no opinions either way.
Yeah, he's neutral and everything.
See, because I thought this would be a perfect platform for him to introduce himself and tell us, like, how the three of you have come together like this now. Because obviously, you know, you've been friends for a while and you've toured with previous bands and stuff. But how's it coming to the fold?
Well, obviously we've known each other for 5 or 6 years now, boys, something like that. We're not really a band anymore, but we kind of are a coda, and we did a bunch of tours with Prestamico years ago, and I had heard them previously. I remember one of their old tunes coming on Scuzz, and I hadn't actually heard them at the time, but I'd heard the name being bandied about, and then I was like, cool, let's crank this up, see what it's about. And then after I heard it, I remember being like, what am I doing with my life? This band are absolutely absolutely ridiculous. And then yeah, we ended up getting put on a small tour with them, and it was one of those Step Brothers moments of, you know, when we walked in the room, it was like, did we just become best friends straight away? And that was it. That's how the bromance begun, really.
Sean, you'll know it super well. It's like, you know, you tour with so many, you meet so many cool people on tour, and you know, you get lots of mates touring, but there's always those particular, like, specific people or group or particular band that you actually become friends with. Yeah. It's like, if we just logistically live closer, we'd literally hang out all the time. And, you know, Jake and Akoda was certainly that. And it's so funny with this band, because there's always been a running joke. Like, you can literally watch back interviews from like years ago of us always joking, where people have always done that cheesy question. It's like, oh, what celebrity would you have in your band if you have it? And we've always joked, we'd just be like, oh yeah, Jake from Akoda. Like, every single time. And I think there's literally a video of us having an interview at Trees years ago where we say it. And like, we'd always joked that Jake could maybe come in on second guitar or something at some point. Mine and Jake's band has been that thing that just has always existed. We just never did anything about it. Do you know what I mean? It's just like, oh yeah, when we do that band, it's going to be wicked. We can do this and this and this. And then it's just kind of everything aligned, and he just ended up being in this band. So it kind of worked out in the end.
Yeah, I've got to say, because you guys hadn't announced it for a while as well, and there was loads of rumours of who the bassist for Prince D'Amico could be. Sean was even rumoured to be it at one point. I mean, was there a lot of confusion online in those months of people just making mad assumptions?
Yeah, it was quite funny to see, actually.
We said it a bit.
Because when it came out, they were just like, oh, it's just some guy. It's just this.
I think a lot of people, actually, anyone that vaguely knew us as people or the bands or the connection, so like, there was a big chunk of people that were just like, oh, obviously. Do you know what I mean? It's just like, of course, now, yeah, obviously it was always going
to
be Jake.
And to
that
throw
came in.
Those people off the scent, in that 2000 Trees video, we even went as far as to flip Jake's image on his bass so he didn't look left-handed. And then we even we coloured his guitar as well. Because we're such practical jokers.
There was actually a comment. Look, guys, something you need to know about us. We're real jokers.
Yeah.
Like, we're real pranksters.
Yeah. You guys are wild.
But there was actually a comment that was just like, I was so sure it was Jake. There was a comment on Instagram because we flipped it. But it was so cool, because there was a small there was a small group of people that were just like, they always kind of knew it was going to be Jake. But for the people who perhaps hadn't put two and two together, like, something that was so humbling was just seeing the genuine excitement for Jake specifically being in this band now. Because I think hopefully a lot of people know, you know, Jake's one of the most talented musicians we can think of. And it's just like, for us, it's like, He inspires us, bringing us into this band. It's like, I suck now. I'm like a weak link in this band now. Do you know what I mean? It's like, I need to up my game to be on, you know, to keep up with the musicianship.
You know, apart from writing all the songs.
Yeah, that's not important. No one cares about songs. People just want sweet picking. I think the cool thing for me and Lewis, and I'm sure for Jake as well, is just to see, like, people were actually excited about the combination of this band with Jake in it now, as much as it was, oh cool, the band's continuing and they're doing new music. That was the thing that really got me excited, because it's like, yeah, this is going to be really fucking cool. Like, I'm really excited about it.
Did you have any bizarre guesses? Like, who was the weirdest bassist somebody thought it might be?
Yeah, there's this guy called Sean Smith that, like, I started researching. It's just like, yeah, he seemed pretty popular on Kerrang. Like, he's got a lot of Kerrang features that I delved into. I know a lot about you now, Sean.
Oh, God, no. No, I was just wondering if you had, like, a Fieldie from Korn.
Oh, man, that would have been the ultimate right there.
I think like, the people were really, because when I stream with Jamal from All Us in Love, who used to be All Us in Drugs, so a lot of people really thought it was him. Like, really, like, people were like, it's obviously it's Jamal. Yeah, like that was the only one. There wasn't anyone that was like really out there, I don't think. Not that I can remember anyway.
But you can make it up though. Like you could literally say, yeah, we had offers from Flea and we turned them down.
We made a video where we were getting pretend Zoom calls from Flea and Mark Hoffman. Throw people off. Yeah. I forgot about that one. And then it had a Peter Andre at the end. And instead of mysterious girl, it was mysterious bassist.
Did we release that video with Flea in?
What's that?
Did we release that video with Flea in?
I swear we put that out.
I forgot.
Yeah,
about
it did
that.
Have Flea in it. It was Flea Mark Hoppers.
I completely forgot about that.
Yeah, it's hard to keep up when you're such pranksters, you know. all these pranks mailed into one.
Well, if we're talking about pranks, then what's the best ones you've been involved with, either on tour or
being in a band?
Thinking
you could make a living from a band. Yeah. That's a
We've been pranking ourselves for 10 years now.
Yeah. Thinking you'd be able to tour Europe from now on.
We're really hoping it gets funny soon.
All these tears for nothing.
going back to the the recording process in the castle and having machine and stuff, obviously you've worked with him previously on the last record as you mentioned, but like, do you think in some ways he's become that like fourth member of the band? Yeah.
He was already that. He was that within the first day of the first pre-production of the last record. He's just someone who's just, he's so aligned, and he has such a great way of picking out what you need, what the strong points of your band are, and perhaps where a big thing of this new record is just been us really focusing on the connectivity of the songs. And like perhaps before where we've been on to something and then we've lost someone, and that's maybe been the reason why someone hasn't connected with the song as much as we'd hoped they would. Like Machine is so good at drilling that in, and just, he's got such a great listener's perspective and can be a bit of a scientist about it and be like, you realize this is why people nod their heads or why people want to chant this back at you. And right from the first record, I think we've worked with some really cool producers and some very talented producers as well. But I think Machine is one of those people where just his idea of that and his perspective of that is just so aligned and correlates to the way we feel about music so well. We'd had a fourth band member the whole of the Here's Fatigue record, so there was no surprises coming into this record, because it's like, that's the reason we wanted Machine again, you know, because he's writing this record with us as we put it together, you know. It's like we said coming into it, like going into the recording process, the record's only like 75% done really, you know, and it's like that extra 25% is the shit that makes it good, you know, it makes it really strong in my opinion.
Yeah. Did he have any crazy ideas? Did he have you?
Oh, all the time, yeah.
Every single minute, every single day, there's something being thrown out. And nine times out of 10, it's actually like very usable as well. That's the best thing about it.
Yeah. As wacky as it is, like, I think that's the thing with our relationship with Machine as well. He brings out the best in us creatively as well. Even if it's just as simple as lighting the fucking spark, you know, making the spark that fucking ignites a bunch of ideas. It's like, even if it's as simple as him being like, this isn't feeling right. And then we just, within such a vague comment, like we go and then try and make it feel good or something like that. Down to literally putting a fucking, I don't know, like a sheep barring sample or some shit in there that somehow works. Like,
get a Welsh on board. Nice. Yeah. I like it. Get a Welsh on board.
And I think that's something we have. That it's just the way he makes you feel in those creative moments is something that is so special about him. And I think that's how he gets the best out of a lot of the bands he works with. And he's a fucking wizard at mixing. Do you know what I mean? And he makes shit sound amazing. All of that stuff. It's like, but there's also a lot of other producers that make great sounding records, you know, but Machine's real selling point over everyone else is just the way he'll make you feel in the room about what you're working on and what he'll contribute to that and what he'll make you contribute to that. He's really very special in that regard.
Nice. Mm. How did you go about recording the bar of a sheep? Was that
luckily there's a little mini golf course next to the castle, and the neighbor used to let their sheep out on there. But there was a slaughter coming up, and we did notice that they did disappear halfway through the recording process.
So really, you've got potentially the last words of a certain sheep.
Potentially, yeah. What a way! What a way to live on!
Yeah.
Wow.
Immortalized.
Yeah. you could like play off the aspect of like you sacrificed the sheep for the music.
there it is.
Oh no. What track is the sheep bar on? Is it, did it make the cut?
Oh no, that doesn't exist. Oh. I just thought, yeah. Like, don't have the bit saying it doesn't exist, because everyone needs to, because there's a Sappening competition running, right? Anyone that finds the sheep bar, we're just trying to boost our Spotify streams with this.
Clever.
Yeah, I like it.
Very, very clever. But I mean, speaking of how important Machine is to you, we've actually had a guest question come in today.
Are you going to try and play it, Morg? Are you going to try and play it? Oh, he's going to try and play it!
Technology!
Oh, bear in mind, I don't think we're going to be able to hear this, but you...
Oh, my God.
I know that cartoon of a guy.
Sappening! Fellas! Okay, it's a question for Prestamico. And that is, guys... Who is the band that you turned me on to that I super loved and was super, super inspired by, who had coincidentally released a record not only prior to our first experience together making Here's the Fatigue, but had coincidentally released another record prior to this current record we had just done? Who is that killer, killer band?
Biffy.
It's either Biffy or Shikari, right?
Yeah, it's either Biffy or Shikari, but the reason I know it's Biffy is because Shikari hadn't released a record just before Here's the VT. But do you remember Machine finding out about what was the Only Revolutions, was it? And he just watched their Reading set and he was raving about Biffy into Here's the VT. Yeah, but Machine fucking discovered Biffy Clyro like just before he did our Here's the Fatigue record, and he was like, this is the best band on the planet. He's just like, he was so in awe of this band, and like he had a lot of I think he really took a lot of influence from just their approach and saw a lot of crossover with our record and just our band, and just like I think from a production side of things as well, he just about the energy of that band and about how they're kind of like on the fringe of sort of rock and alternative and just kind of sit in the middle. And I remember him being very vocal about how much he loved the band and just shit that they'd done that was cool, that he feels like there's a crossover
with
this band as well.
Absolutely massive compliment. Cool. Like we all adore that band. So, you know,
they're the reasons like bands like us can have a chance of existing, you know, like,
well, that's one of the feelings I got from the record, from listening back to the record. It kind of reminded me of Biffy meets Billy Talent meets Weezer meets Dillinger. Like, there's all sorts of different fucking bits and bobs from all different bands I love.
Amazing.
And yeah, I think you've brought it together. And it, whereas if I said that, if you said to me, there's a band that sounds a bit like Billy Talent, a bit like Biffy, got a touch of Weezer with some Dillinger, I go, you're fucking mad. That's never going to work. But this fucking album is fantastic, and I think you've done a fucking sterling job with it.
Thank you so much.
And yeah, everybody involved should be praised greatly. So thank you very much to Machine for sending that question in that we heard absolutely perfectly. There was no problems with whatsoever. And we didn't have to have Morgan read the question out to us. So thanks to Machine for sending that in. We all love you.
Yes, we do.
Yeah,
It's a wonderful, wonderful human being. But like with the songwriting this time around as well, I mean, like in the past, in your music, you've always let instruments really take over bits and being a big kind of showcase what you can do musically. And I feel like on this, you've still got those elements, but you've honed in and let a lot more things breathe from time to time. Was there like a different method going into stuff? Were you aware of not wanting to rehash the same things you've done before? I mean, talk us through it.
It's more of just a perspective thing. I think we've learned a lot from the last two albums, where we've had a kind of a writing style where it's a bit of a tornado, and it's like it can be great in short doses, but sometimes when you're writing a whole album where you're chopping and changing quite a lot for a listener, that can be kind of intense. And yeah, again, just going in, just wanting to kind of like connect with people in the best way that we can. We just found like that, I don't know, it's just a bit of like maturity in songwriting, just realizing like you don't need to be full on all the time and you can let things breathe. And that gives you more opportunity to connect, especially I found vocally, it was like, I was loving that early on, just being able to kind of like speak a bit more without kind of being so constrained in certain areas because only this melody would fit here or whatever. So yeah. And again, it's just kind of like, we didn't have any intention to kind of like make this a PTM record or anything. We literally were just, me and Luke were just writing for the fun of it and just to kind of ignite our musical passions again after they had kind of faded, really. We were just doing it for ourselves, really, and we were just kind of like letting the song be the song that it wants to be. We'd start with an idea and then just kind of like we would try and get in the way of that writing process as little as possible and not let our egos or our predisposition towards making things too complicated get in the way, really.
I think something about this record was just like, I think we've in some respects realized, it just feels like we've realized how to be the band we kind of were always trying to be over the last couple of releases. And it's just we had a few records that really inspired us for this one, which would probably be quite a big curveballs for people who have heard the record. And like one of those was like the 21 Pilots, the latest record that they released. And another one was the Daughters record that got released. And Although they're quite contrasting, there's something that those two albums, it's just, that's what we were listening to at the time. Yeah. But they pinpointed so well what we were trying to, we'd always been trying to get, but I think had never really achieved until this album. And that was the idea of songs and a record having a sonic identity in respects to when setting the vibe of the song early on, and it's kind of like you know what you're in for. And that doesn't mean that a song's predictable, and that means you can still twist and turn it, but just like something that those records do so well is just create such a vibe where within 30 seconds into that song, it's just like you know what mood that's provoking, you know what, how you feel about that song. And it doesn't matter if it goes off on one or if it does this and that, it's just like at least you kind of set the settling point. Whereas I think a lot of our tracks before, especially in the early days, where we were just writing to write wacky shit and have fun and just like fucking write crazy riffs and shit just because that's what we were enjoying at the time when we were younger. But I think as we've got older, we just really respect and appreciate the thing that we love in music as well, is when you hear a song and it makes you feel something, you know. That was a huge part of the agenda going forwards, was just to write music that connects a bit better. And something me and Lewis have come to realize, and we just have blind faith in now, is that no matter what we write, if me and Lewis get together and write, it sounds like Prestamico. So I think that was very good to alleviate a lot of maybe preconceptions we might have about this record or what we wanted it to sound like. Cause it's like, no matter what, it's going to sound like the same band that's come from the last place. And people who like that side of us, there's still hopefully that side of the band in this in abundance. But, it's more just like, just fucking, yeah, if there's four chords that feel good or just one riff or a bass line that feels good, this fucking, what's the point in deviating from it when it feels so good hearing it over and over and over, you know? And I think it's just, yeah, just sitting on shit and just like, and like I said, just appreciating when there's a section that's good and using it rather than having to switch it up or this and that.
Nice, yeah. Yeah, but I think a lot of people and fans will be surprised a lot about the different elements on this album as well. I mean, there's tracks like Sabotage and Baby Steps that for me on first listen really blew me away, and especially that kind of build up in within the tracks itself. So yeah, looking forward to everyone hearing it and seeing what so cool they take away from it.
It's cool you pick those ones out as well, because Baby Steps especially, like that's one of those moments where just like with the connectivity side of things, I think we really came to appreciate just how like actually one person emotively screaming or shouting a fucking lyric or a vocal, that's going to connect with so many more people and provokes in us more of an emotion and a feeling when we're playing it or hearing it than perhaps the heaviest section you've ever heard on the planet with three-part harmony over it, just because that's textbook Prestamico or whatever. And it's just like, well, why are we robbing ourselves of this big moment? Do you know what I mean? It's like, we want it to sound like that. I'm sure other people hearing this section wish that there was this thing over the top. So let's fucking send it. And yeah, we'd already written the part, and obviously Jake was going to scream it. So we had to get Jake in the band then, you know, and it's just like, oh, lend itself.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. Another Day is going to be the first single. Mm-hmm. Which I believe is out today when this podcast goes live. Because this is, yeah, this is, yes! If it isn't a single release siren. Morg, we're going to have to get one of them moving forward now, I think.
I got a guy, I'll hook you up. I'll give you a number. Yeah.
All this happening podcast from now on are just... something! yeah, I just wanted to touch on what some of you guys' favourite songs are on the album. Like Morgan said, I've written down here, Sabotage, Sean's favourite.
Awesome.
Why I've written in third person, I don't know. I've written Rusty Nails is great. And I've written Gold and then done three ticks. So I think I like that one. So yeah.
You know. I think Gold's going to be like the new, like, I think, well, if we can ever play shows again, Gold's going to be one of those like live, like, I think one of the live favorites, because like we always had affinity before for that thing where it's just kind of like a bit like, here's a just dose of madness for the set. Do you know what I mean? Like, and I think Gold's very much going to replace that going forwards.
Oh, yes.
I think it's funny you say Sabotage because, our agent Tobba actually he picked out that Sabotage is one of his favorite, and I think that's one of you know, when Lewis said about the whole relieving our egos and just like any preconceptions we had about the record, like I remember me and Lewis were just jamming it, and then that cheesy as fuck like riff we started playing, that like almost like Pantera like fucking redneck kind of riff came in. We were just jamming it just because it felt good, and it was just one of those things where it's like, are we really gonna put this at the end of this song? And it's just like, yeah. Like, it feels, in the words of Bart Simpson, if it feels good, do it. And that's very much been the fucking motto of this record.
Funny you said, did you say Rusty Nails, Sean?
Rusty Nails, yeah. Yes,
Rusty Nails is
that's
great.
Well up fact. There for me. Really that's dumb. Really up there for me on the album. I think it's got a bit of everything. And I like the kind of mid-tempo sneer that's going on with that one. Yeah, I really, really enjoy that one. I enjoyed recording it. Lots. There's a lot of cool elements. The guitar tones are absolutely ludicrous, and get to shout in the middle bit. I mean, what more?
Look, Jake's a simple guy, right? You let him shout and you give him some good guitar tones, he's as happy as anyone.
Oh, yeah.
Doesn't need food or water, just needs guitar tones. And
he'll chew on those tones.
They are dense, to be fair. It's like the viscosity is off the chart when the last chord comes in. I absolutely love it.
I think that's the thing I love about this record as well. It's like, you know, we can be objective because Machine's just done such a great job on the production. It's just like, it's when you hear it, it sounds so ridiculous. And there's some moments that sound so huge and Machine's just done some fucking witchcraft. And then you remember, it's like, we did this in the fucking, with one little mixing desk with some janky mics. Like, Jake made the fucking guitar cab thing out of some pillows from the sofa just to make some ISO cabs.
Nice.
It was super DIY, and I think it just it's just testament to how good Machine is and how he's the guy to put in that situation, because he'll just thrive in that, you know, more than anyone else that we know. Probably he'll thrive if you give him the fucking weirdest setup, he'll go in there and get the results. Like, you know, he's really good.
It's also nice because we've, for once, you know, we've, you know, as bad as this whole thing's been, it's like kind of been nice to just step back for a second and just, we finished the album, mixed it, and then we just forgot about it. It's like we could just step away and not hear those songs 1,000 more times straight away when we're playing them live or recording videos or whatever. So it's kind of nice to step back, and now whenever I've dipped back in, it's like, oh yeah, I'm proud of this, and we've done a cool thing. But, and it's, again, funny you should mention Baby Steps. I mean, I don't know if I have any like full-on favorites. Like, it changes literally day to day, but Baby Steps has always been one that's kind of stuck out, just because, again, it was like maybe one of the first ones where we just doubled down on this new kind of perspective and just allowed it to like be this big moody thing. And like, I wrote the vocals to that the day my nephew was born as well.
Oh, wow.
'Cause like he was my brother was like flying in from a stag do or something, and I got a call from his girlfriend basically saying, I'm in the hospital. I think I'm gonna give birth. I think I might try and give birth tonight.
I think I'm gonna give birth a go tonight.
And I just stuck that tune on, and you know, kind of like, for me, that one kind of sticks out a bit as well, because it just has such a emotive tie to it as well.
And in terms of like favorites and things like that, the album was like 75% written before it was even official that I was going to join. So I got to hear all the demos and things of like what was actually coming. And I got to kind of hear all the steps like as they were going along, because obviously there was 75% finished, like each one. Some of them were more finished than others. Like Another Day was pretty much written before I even came into the fold. But being able to hear how those songs got built up from the ground up, and then at the end of it, being able to come in and add my own bits onto it if it needed it, that was like an absolute privilege, especially when I really, really enjoyed all of the material. Like, it was amazing.
That was great for us as well, just because, like, obviously we've been in this garage or whatever, or Luke in his room, or out in the Cotswolds hidden away. Like, we'd just been like had our heads down in this for so long, and then it was nice to have Jake step in like completely fresh blood and come in and be like, yeah, this is great, what about trying this here, what about trying this here. And like, it's just, it was nice to have that fresh air blown into it. I don't know what.
I mean, especially from someone we've got so much respect for, do you know what I mean? And it's like, we, you know, we really value Jake's input, and it's part of the reason amongst many why we're so excited to bring him in, because it's just like, you know, me and Lewis have written together for so long, and you know, on one hand, we've tapped into the richest vein I think we ever have in regards to the way we work together and the flow, and, you know, our writing relationship's never been better. But also we've been writing together so long, just having someone that can have a different perspective on how to write in general, and just you can sometimes get locked in a bit of a box, even though you're still being super creative, you can still be in your kind of methodical way of writing. So just even having someone that we have a lot of respect for come in and just look at it from a different angle was super cool.
Then
you
think he's telling me to fuck off.
Just telling him to fuck off.
I was about to say, what was it like the first time Jake chirped up and was like, boys, I think we should change that. You go,
me and Lewis looked at each other, and we were just like, Lewis picked up his drumstick and just did that. It was just like, we don't need a talker here.
Yeah.
Luke took his slipper off. Luke took his slipper off, and you should have seen the speed. It was like Bruce Lee incarnate. It was
just cowering, just cowering in the corner, you know.
I'll play it like this. Okay.
No, but like all jokes aside, like, you know, Jake's input has been so valuable for this, and the record is genuinely what it is because of Jake's input and Machine's input at the last stage of it. And it's kind of what I'm saying, like, me and Lewis were already very happy with it, but we've done this so many times, we all have, and we know that the real magic starts to happen when you're actually laying the shit down, and we're so open, we're so excited to get Jake and Machine's input on that end of it, because, you know, the result of it is we knew it was going to be something that we were proud of and even just excited to get into, you know. Which is, but something else about this record which is a bit of a bombshell is, like, I think we're proud this exists, because me and Lewis, when we started writing this, we were pretty sure this was going to be the last thing we ever did, like, when we wrote this.
Oh, okay.
So we very much went into this, like, we had such a rough year, like, I'd gone up and down to the point where, like, I was done with it, like, I was in a bad place and shit, and, like, we kind of, that's, I remember Lewis said, he was just like, look, let's just fucking go away and just write. And it was so cathartic, because it was just like, not only do, obviously, me and Lewis are super close, we've been best friends fucking years and shit, and, like, we just enjoy each other's company if you put us in a room. And but on top of that, it's just like, oh yeah, we do like doing this. Do you know what I mean? It's like, we do. I remember why we started writing together and why we are in a band. It's like, we do actually enjoy it without all the bullshit that surrounds it. This is actually why we do it. And through that became, you know, through that came the inspiration. Then it's just like, fuck, I'm really feeling this record. And that is why, for me, like, I think I've got, well, I don't listen to it that much. If I ever listen to the record again, the last track, Hesitation, I think has a big connection with myself, because originally that song just stopped halfway through. It literally ended as the most sad, depressing thing, and we were literally going to end the record like that. And I remember we wrote it because we were just like, we were so fucking done with being in a band, and just, it felt right. And then we were kind of jamming it, and Machine was just like, there should be this big epic outro at the end. And it's kind of like, he was like, I remember him being like, dude, you can't end the record like this, dude. This is so fucking depressing. And then we kind of started making this thing. And like, as we were playing it, it was kind of like, actually, no, this is how we feel now. Like, we feel very much recharged. And like, we've got, you know, we've got Jake in the band. Like, the band feels like a whole new thing. Like, we're super feeling the new material. And it's just like, I don't think this is a good representation of this record anymore. So I think for me, that ending very much signifies the fact that there was a bit of optimism found through all of the shit, you know. So
transmuted the song.
I need some guns.
Yeah. You've got to get the full old Charlie, what's his name? Charlie Sloth guns. You've got to get them in. Glass smashing. Perfect. That's it. That's the noise. Brilliant.
Perfect. Wow.
We just had that lovely deep moment about like, the band potentially was over and now we've breathed new life in, and then fucking
straight back to the memes.
It's pressed to make all over, really, isn't it?
No, but it's interesting that you say that, because like I don't think a lot of people realize how up and down and stressful and how really dark band life can get at times, especially trying to, you know, maintain a band for over a decade like you guys have done now. What are some of those struggles you've had to deal with over the years? I mean, how different do you see the way you guys treat the band now compared to, you know, starting off?
I think
we care way less.
What do you say, Lou?
We care way less.
Care way less, yeah, genuinely.
Yeah.
I think it's like, it's hard because, you know, you start a band, me and Lewis have been playing in a band together since we were like 18, 19. So it's like, you're so fucking ignorant and naive and full of optimism. Do you know what I mean? When at that age, and it's just like, you can't help but become so jaded as you realize how shit actually works and how unjust some stuff was, and just like, how hard shit is and how, you know, all of these real problems. And then you throw in just like societal pressure, you throw in we're in a band, so we're not the most stable of people anyways. Do you know what I mean? And then you put us in a very, a situation that's going to shine a light on all of that side of you. So I think it's just hard. Like, I think that's the thing. People don't realize that the amount of external pressure there is, as well as like your own self-deprecating shit that you have to deal with being in a band. And I think for us, it was literally just like, I think it was almost like by feeling like we were done with it and by feeling like we were ready to pretty much let it go, we found through that why we enjoyed it, because it didn't matter if this record flopped or was a great success or anything. We were just doing it for us for the first time in a long time. I mean, to be fair, we've always done it for us, but it's more the in-between. It's more the in-between where it's like you're touring, you're doing the campaign, you're trying to push out, you're trying to hustle and all of this stuff. It's like, we just enjoy it and we don't care anymore. Like, and that's basically
which
it.
Which is
like,
great for me, because I get to come in and just not necessarily reap all of that, but it's just nice to come into it when Luke and Lewis were both feeling that way, because they're one of my favorite bands before I even joined. So to actually come in when all of the preconceptions or the tendencies have kind of been stripped away, and it's like, let's just make some music, which is just amazing.
Yeah, I suppose if you joined like a year before, you would have been like, they're thinking about fucking knocking this on the end. This is the worst time I'm going to fucking start. I could have joined. Exactly.
Oh, yeah, because starting it just pre-COVID was so much better.
Yeah. Good point well made, Jack. Good point well made. You've won that one, Jake. I think you've won that one.
he's putting you on his list now. You're on his list.
I'm writing down. Fuck Jake.
Yeah. No ticks this time, just no crosses.
No, it's literally just Jake and it's like Sean throwing a dagger at him on a little notepad.
Look how hard I've written his name in here, like, bastard.
Good lord.
A big X on the end. Now, he did have a tick. He's gone. He's fucking changed. Boys, have you ever thought about not having a bassist? What about this?
Well, we don't.
So many times.
Like, we joke. We just got Jake.
That's a good point.
Yeah. Yeah, but I mean, while we have you here, we've got to mention Luke's Twitch, because Sean and I have seen many clips exactly over the period of you starting it up that has made us laugh out loud. There's one in particular Sean really loves.
I love it. I love I've sent it around to everybody, like I told you prior to this. I sent it to all of the WhatsApp groups I'm in. So every band I've ever had a sniff of being in has seen this.
Fred does seen it.
friend Durst. No, he hasn't yet.
Oh, okay.
I can't get him to fucking reply to my Instagram messages saying, come on the podcast. So
he likes the messages, though.
Oh, he likes the messages. Does he? Sees the messages. The shit.
No
dead,
way.
Right? I've literally messaged him. I know.
That's
I messaged
worse.
Him on Instagram and I was like, come on my podcast. I will literally rim you for an hour. That's all it'll be, right? Me just telling you how much I love you. I won't talk about a new album. I won't talk about any scandals. I won't talk about that terrible film you did with John Travolta that only made $3,000 in its full entirety. I will not mention her. Just come on. And I will rim the hell out of you. And he liked it, and it says seen, and he's liked it, but I can't fucking pin him down, man. I can't pin Dursty down. But when I do, I'll give it a mention. Yeah, Luke's video of the... I'll set the scene. It's just Luke sitting there, and then all of a sudden he says, imagine what it's like being a cat. Or imagine being a cat. And then he just looks off into the distance, and then slowly a title screen comes in, and it's the most it's the most genius thing I've ever seen. I sent it around to people who didn't even know the band were fucking in tears, and they were like, who's this guy?
Having a tiny meltdown.
It's nice you're laughing at my despair, Sean. Yeah, I was going through some shit during that stream.
Sorry about that. Yeah, it wasn't meant to be funny. It was meant to be really serious. I missed the 2 hours of stream before that where you're talking about, your pet cat dying or something. And then I just tuned in and you've gone, imagine being a cat. And I'm like, how funny is this guy? That's fucking brilliant. Imagine being a cat. Not knowing any backstory or whatever.
That could actually be a really profound way to end a speech where you've just spoken about your relationship with your cat. You've gone in depth about all these times. You literally sign off like, imagine being a cat. Just everything that entails, like, it's just fucking, that'll make you think deeper about being a cat than you've ever thought.
And here we are again, thinking about being a cat. How was this new Twitch renaissance been for you?
It's all right. I mean, it's basically just something to do. Do you know what I mean? That's literally all it's been. It's just been something to do. And like, I've been playing a lot of games with, so I play a lot of games with Jamal from All Us in Love and Hamish from Bukovi. And it was just kind of like Jamal had been streaming for ages anyways. And we were just having so much fun. And like the three of us in particular, we'd just be laughing for fucking hours. And it was just kind of like, well, all we need to do is put a camera on and then it's basically content. And it's just a way to earn a little bit of money as well. So I don't feel like it's a career choice or anything. It's literally just something to do.
You kidding? You've bought a pink light. You've committed to the Twitch lifestyle.
Bought a pink light. Yeah, that's it. Yeah, I'm in now. Yeah.
Yeah. You've got to have your logo. You've got to have a light version of your logo in the background, and then that's
come back
it.
Next
job
time,
done.
Be a big worm that crawls all around the fucking room.
Yeah. In but for life, then. That's
I think
it.
The cool thing though is just like the way it's helped just keep some engagement up whilst we've been very dead. Do you know what I mean? Cause it's like, it's the most satisfying thing is I've tried to keep it quite separate just cause I want it to be its own thing. But obviously there's naturally going to be a bunch of crossover. Like when I play guitar and people who like the band are going to come and check it out. But the coolest thing is when brand new people that are just from like a game or us playing Overcooked or a clip or something come through and then they discover the band and then they join the Discord and then it's like they've bought a fucking shirt or they've been listening to the record and stuff. So I think for me it was something to do. Two is just like I could hustle a bit and just try find a way to make some kind of fucking money in this time. And three, it's just like this is basically extra promotion for the record. And that's the thing I'm proud of, is just when people have come through and they're into the band now, you know.
Nice. That's awesome.
You could come play some games with us soon.
I would, but I don't have a console I've got this phone as I could use as
That's
a camera
right.
setup, but I don't own a console, so I can pretend. I can stick it like, how are we doing?
That's basically what I do. The other two are the only ones that play the game.
They play a two-player game.
There was a guy on Twitch when they were trying to cut down on all the fake on the sorry, one second, let me start this again.
Keep it in, Morg. Keep it in, Morg.
Yes. When they were trying to cut down on all the illegal UFC streams, and there was a dude on Twitch who sat there with a games controller streaming the fights and pretending to play the video game.
Yeah, and they didn't catch him. That's genius.
Did you see the dude? Do you remember the dude who streamed it through his sunglasses?
Yeah, I was just going to mention that. That is so funny.
What a guy.
It's fucking brilliant. I have thought about it, but I worry that I'd end up ruining myself because.
Yeah.
Whereas on something like this, Morgan can, you know, Morgan will listen to it again and go, Sean shouldn't have said that. Yeah. Take that out, yeah. For fuck's sake.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's going to kill us. He's going to get us both fucking killed. whereas if I'm live, I'll fucking ruin myself within
it's
an
hard,
hour.
It is hard. Yeah.
I'd have to become one of them right-wing people who just says the wrong things for cash, like Katie Hopkins or Lawrence Fox or any of them cunts.
Yeah.
Pretending to have a community for money.
Yeah, within an hour, I'd have to be offended. I'd have to turn and be like, oh, no, I'm offended by something that doesn't involve me for no reason because I said something stupid and that would be cancelled.
It is. That's the only hard thing, right? It's just like, so, like you want to say a joke so bad that's just not like you can't say it because it's just like, oh, I was looking forward to releasing that record. Shame we can't do that anymore. Do you know what I mean? But like, it's hard to have that in your brain.
Yeah, I have no filter, so yeah. I'd definitely be cancelled. Have you said anything where you've gone, oh?
I think definitely people I've streamed have. I can't believe I haven't because my brain runs faster than I can think a lot of the time, just not in an intelligent way, in a fucking erratic way. And like, so I'm surprised I've not said anything that's, I'm sure I already have that you could twist and, you know, like you can make anything offensive if you spin it in the right way. So I'm sure there's stuff that I've said that probably someone could find offensive, but I don't think I've done anything that's like, really piss people off yet, except for this one game of Among Us when I made some people upset, but that wasn't through comments, that was through me not playing the game.
Okay. I thought you were gonna say except for doing this podcast, and there's definitely
except
things you've said
podcast.
yeah but with all that now, obviously, you know, you're gearing up for the release of everything. I'm sure in the next couple of months you're gonna be teasing the record, releasing a few more singles and everything, but what else can we expect in the world of Preston Miko now? What else is in the pipeline?
The next big thing we're going to try and do is just break up, and then
and we tried it once. We ended up writing a record.
No,
kind of backfired.
Exactly. Right again.
Right then, Lewis. We need a meeting. Right. I don't want to be in this band anymore. Yeah, me neither. Should we do an album? Fucking right.
Yeah.
We're going to try and do the one thing we've never been able to successfully do. Break up. Come on.
Stop. Yeah.
Yeah. Every time we break up, we write a better fucking single. Shit.
You say that though, I hear there's a lot of good money in reunion tours if touring.
People had to care about the band in the first place to cash in on that. You know,
I
don't think we can pull on that. I don't think we can do that.
That's my fucking band you're talking about there.
Look, Lewis, if you want to drop a thousands of pounds to play a show to Morgan and Sean, I'm in. I'm all in.
Right. Oh. That's it. That'll be the live stream. We'll do a Sapnin live stream.
Yeah.
Sapfest.
That's
a terrible name.
Sapfest.
Sounds like
if you swap them around, Fapfest. No, that sounds terrible.
It sounds like Sapfest.
It sounds like masturbation with your family. Sapfest. Oh, he's in a bit of Fapfest. This is staying in, Morg. Leave it in. Yeah, thank you so much for doing this, boys.
Yes, thanks for having us. It's been a pleasure.
It's fucking awesome. Congratulations on the album. As I said, it's brilliant. It's cracking. I really, really enjoyed it. Thank you very much to your label for sending it to us early. I know you didn't know. But yeah, you've done a fucking fantastic job with this.
Thank you so much.
I genuinely wish you every success with it.
Thank you. That really means a lot. It really does.
I hope this virus fucks off and we can all get in a field and get pissed.
That'd be great.
And have a laugh very, very soon. Because I'd love to do one of these in the old flesh again. So let's all, fingers crossed, this bloody virus just disappears miraculously, like somehow. And let's get together.
Yeah, it'd be great. Well, thank you for even wanting to chat to us. You know, it honestly means a lot. Like, even you guys just saying you're into it, like people might check it out off the back of that. Do you know what I mean? So it's super fucking cool.
No, it's our pleasure, guys, honestly. And yeah, hopefully we'll all be at 2000 Trees Festival one day again and just having a giant laugh. So before you go, is there any final words you want to leave on, or a prank?
A prank.
Oh, that was good, but he's now not going to be in the picture.
Yeah, he needs to come back in for the photo.
Oh, no.
That's a Jerky Worms, which is Luke's Twitch handle, by the way. I'll do his promotion for him. That's a Jerky Worms staple, the old quick exit.
Well, he's fucked it now because he's going to have to come back.
Yeah.
So
absolutely.
Right then, what can we do? Oh, when he comes back, let's all stay as still as we can, right?
Hello?
Hello?
Come back, you prick. We need a picture.
Oh, okay, I'm coming.
What a way to end.
You're listening to Sapin Podcast!
Yeah! Oh, I love them. I love those boys. They are absolutely chaotic in the best possible way. Preston, Miko, what a bunch of lads.
Yes, go follow Luke on Twitch. His username is Jerky Worms. JERKYWRMS. Jerky Worms. He's hilarious. Just the stuff that comes out of his mouth and brain is brilliant. And I don't think he realizes how brilliant that is. So yeah, definitely go check him out. Check out the Preston Miko record when it's out. It's called Transmute. Thank you very much to Marshall Records for giving us this exclusive content.
Yeah, it's been wonderful trying to sort this out with the team. This has been in the works for quite a while, to be honest, ever since we had Machine, who you heard there drop in for a surprise on episode 96. Marshall of being in touch with us, wanting us to tell the Preston Miko story in the only way we could. So special shout out to the wonderful team at Marshall and Charlotte especially for ironing out all the details with me. But as you heard right at the end of the conversation, just in case you couldn't tell, Luke left. As this prank, as this farewell prank, Luke just decided to leave.
Yes, he did.
And as you heard, Lewis had to phone him up to get him back on. So we had a little bit of a laugh after the recording. And yeah, these guys are just a great bunch of fun, making amazing music that we cannot wait for you all to hear when the record drops now on June the 11th. But I have some nice information to tell you all as well, because the record is going to be available on CD and vinyl alongside a special coloured pressing available only at Banquet Records. Plus, this is a little bit of a secret, but there will be a limited number of test pressings on the band's store. Now, they're expected to go ASAP Rocky, so hopefully you've listened to this very early on in the day and you can get yourselves one, because I imagine they're going to be a rare find.
Do we get one of them?
We should, shouldn't we? I mean, they should have sent us two.
We should
Yeah.
Well, yeah, definitely they should have. Marshall Records, you know, we just give it that big praise in. What the boys up like?
Yeah, where's our free stuff now? Come on. I want amps. Yeah. I want a guitar.
Why didn't I think of that? Why didn't I think of that first? Yeah, I'd like a test press and a Preston Miko and a full guitar stack.
Yeah, that would be the ultimate gift. But yeah, great to speak to the guys as well. And just to say, where Machine dropped in, due to my magical editing skills, you probably thought that went very smoothly. Ha ha! Technology does not work all the time. So if you want an extra laugh from the Preston Miko boys and want to see Machine's video that he sent in specially for this conversation and their reactions to not being able to hear him and me reading that out, I'm going to put up the whole video section of that bit of the conversation up on our Patreon later this week. So if you head over to patreon.com/sapnin, sign up to any of the tiers. The smallest is from $3, and everything in there would help us so much continue to make this podcast and go forward. But you get a lot of great laughs, a lot of bonus features like that, and you get to join a wonderful community of awesome human beings who never leave each other alone and checking very, very regularly. They're great.
Yes, what a bunch of legends we have supporting us. Well, I think really we should thank some of them, shouldn't we?
I think if you head to the description of this episode, right, there'll be loads of names that have just magically appeared or I've put in there previously, of people in the Patreon that we love to thank. Every single person who is a part of it means the world to us. And Sean is now going to give a massive shout out to the elite members of our Sapling Podcast Patreon community. Those are the top tiers. They've probably changed their names to something funny, I hope, because we all like a laugh. And we'll see what happens now.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to Amazon.com/comedy ad free. That's Amazon.com/comedy ad free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Yeah, we all like a laugh. Anyway, thank you very much to Kylie Wheeler, Mayumi Liwewe, Mitch Perry, Emma Barber, Kelly Young. Princess Dilly says, grab your wands and fairy dust and meet us at the castle. Saturday night, we go to Disneyland and happy birthday, Sharni. Jesus Christ, this is a big name. Thank you very much to Nathan Croshaw, Michael Engler, Liam Connolly, Paul Hirschfield, Kelly Irwin, Dana Lasnova, Petition to Fire, Sean Smith. Oh. Scooby Drew Styles, Kat Besant, Sammy G, Tom Owen, Amadine Urbano, Tony Michael, Shani Meyer, Boxel Anderson, Sarah James, Amy Campion, Johnny Phillips, Scott Just Scott, Bert, Dan Gies. Is it Dan Gies or Dan Gies? Dan Gies. Simon Amos, Kate Stevenson, Jenny Sexy Boy Munster, Martina McManus, Danny Eaton, Erin Howard, Emily Senegals, Lucy Diaz, John and Emma, Becky Andy, Jenny Robertson, Louis Cook, Marcy Jacobson, Jason Heredia, Leg. Lord Craig Coffeyton of RST Boots Harris, Caroline Robinson, Sandra Kuacek, Kelly Cannon, James McNaught, Kevin Clark, Carl Pendlebury, Livy Cropper, Tallulah Grant, Stuart McNaught, Lydia Henderson, Sharif Awadali, Chris Howard. In order to improve this podcast, I, Sean Smith, officially hand in my 1 week notice effective immediately. Katrina Fawn, Dilma Balls and Dang Ling Wang Robinson. Jesus Christ. Jacob Turner, thank you very much. So Josh, do you remember a joke about a boomerang? Me neither, but don't worry, it'll come back to me. Crisp. Thank you very much to Alice Wood, Adam Parslow, and by last but by no means least, Keris Andrews. And thank you very much to everybody's name who is in the description of this podcast that Morgan did previously mention.
Yes, we love every single person. You help make this thing going, and the community is one of the favorite things to ever come out of this podcast, all that we have done in our lives. So thank you for embracing us, thank you for all the support, and thank you for being you. As I said, if you want an extra laugh from the Preston Miko guys, go and check out patreon.com/sapnin. You'll see that machine video, you'll see their reactions to technology going wrong and having a little bit of a chuckle, and there's loads of other things on there of us just rambling. And we're going to be putting up a lot more stuff going forward as well.
Nice. Yes. As always, thank you very much. If you've got this far, fair play to you. I don't know if anyone does. I think they probably listen to their names and then stop. But yeah, thank you very much to everyone. Hope you have a great week. We'll see you next week with another amazing guest, no doubt, because that's what we do. Week fucking in and week fucking out, we bring you a very, very interesting guest.
Yes,
so
we do.
So go back. Who else brings you, right, in a month? Who brings you Preston Miko, a member of Slayer, Misfits, Suicidal Tendencies, Mr. Bungle, and members of Busted?
Yeah. No one.
Who? The answer is fucking nobody. So fucking subscribe where you can to Sapling Podcast. Share, rate, subscribe. It all helps us. Super, super loads. Super loads, that's not even... I've gone mad. Add us to your story. Tag us so we can share you sharing us. It all helps us so, so much. And we appreciate you. Stay safe. Wear a mask. Don't die. Socially distance.
Beautiful. Well said, Sean. Have a great week. We'll see you next Friday. Keep on party rocking. And...
Sapnin'.
You're listening to Sapnin' Podcast with Sean Smith and Morgan Richards. Thank you very much for downloading this podcast or streaming it, or I don't know what else you do with podcasts. Thank you very much.